Earlier this year, I had a unique experience. Went to one of the big box home improvement stores and was met at the door by an employee there who said, "How can I help you today? And can I help you find something?" And they actually did that. I was able to tell them the particular plumbing fitting that I needed, and they were able to take me right there, which is wonderful because if you know what all those bins are like, it would have taken me forever to find it myself. And it just actually impressed me very deeply. I mean, imagine going to one of those stores, and instead of pressing the button for help and waiting and waiting and waiting, and then going and finding somebody and waiting and waiting and waiting, that you're actually met there by somebody who not only is willing to help, but is able to help, can help you determine what it is that you need, who can show you where to find it, and then actually explain how this is used, and maybe even suggest, oh, by the way, you might also need this and that and the other. And these days, they'll even walk you out to your car with your things because they want you to value their service, and they want you to value their store, and they want you to come back again for more help. And I will go back because I value those things as well. This summer, we have been talking about vision, and we have been talking about values. And last week, and the weeks leading up to last week, as I was considering our value of the Holy Spirit, the thing that I so deeply became convicted of communicating is actually valuing the Holy Spirit, the presence and the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and among us. For Him to be precious to us, and us wanting to go back for more and more. So why is the Holy Spirit precious to me? And one of the reasons is that the Holy Spirit amazingly is given to us as our helper. One of the commentaries I was reading this week pointed out, we know too little about the Holy Spirit and we cherish the Holy Spirit too lightly. And I hope that as we continue to speak of this wonderful third person of the divine Trinity, that we will value Him more. The thing that in this particular morning I'd like to communicate is the shocking truth that God, the Holy Spirit, is our help. Here's what Jesus had to say to His disciples. We read it last week. We're going to read it again this morning. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 21, in which He communicates about the Holy Spirit as our help. Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in My name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask Me for anything in My name, and I will do it. If you love Me, keep My commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see Me anymore, but you will see Me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in My Father, and that you are in Me, and I am in you. Whoever has My commands and keeps them is the one who loves Me. The one who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love them and show Myself to them." Surely you heard it. right there in the middle, as Jesus introduces the disciples to the ministry of the coming Holy Spirit, he says that the Spirit is coming to help you, that an advocate is coming to help you. That's one translation of a very significant word that is difficult to translate. In fact, if you just look through the various versions that you might have on your phone app or that you might have around the house, almost every different translation will have a different word here. We will read about the counselor or the comforter. Do you remember that? That's not only the King James, but even some newer translations. Or the encourager. Another translation says that Jesus is going to send the intercessor. And then other translations, the word that I have chosen for today is the helper will come to you, Jesus promises. And the difficulty in translating here is not a modern problem. Even back in ancient translations, they struggled to put this word into their own language in a way that was encompassing of the entire range of meaning. And so even an ancient church father, Jerome, when he was working on a translation, decided not to use a translation here. He just took the Greek word and transliterated it to what we know, and perhaps you have heard, as paraclete. This is where Jesus says that he is sending the paraclete, an advocate, a counselor, comforter, encourager, intercessor, and helper. What paraclete literally means is to call alongside to help. And that help covers so many different things that it's hard to translate. But a good illustration of this idea would be a ship that is dead in the water and has been so for a period of time. There is no power, there is no rudder, there's no direction, it is at the mercy of the waves. They have been stranded for so long that they are out of supplies, but they're finally able to call for help. And another ship comes alongside and gets lashed to it. And they provide supplies for that starving crew, food and water. They fill in the place of those who are exhausted. And then, under power, provide direction, bringing that stranded ship into port, called alongside to provide the necessary help. And there we run across that word again. God is my helper. David said that in the Psalms. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. Have you thought about the audacity of that statement? I mean, we are talking about the living God. We are talking about the creator of the universe, the one who numbers and names the stars, the one who is holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. When I talk about my helper, I might be talking about, you know, one of my kids. In fact, we joke about it sometimes. If we're doing a project and, oh, I've got a little helper. Or even if we are talking about a helper who has the knowledge and the power to actually provide us help, we still are referring to someone who comes to us at our call in order to help us in our moment. And here we are saying, the God of all the universe is my helper. The author of Hebrews says the same thing. In a moment of need, I don't have to wonder, and I don't have to be afraid. I will say, God is my helper, therefore I will not be afraid. God is not ashamed. He is not too big. He is not too preoccupied to care about our needs and to come alongside and to be called our helper. Now, what kind of help does he provide? Because that's a good way to fill this term with meaning. And of course, the best thing we can do is let Scripture explain to us what is the help that God provides, what is the ever-present help that God the Holy Spirit brings to us. And so as we look at Jesus' words, we will hear about the kind of help that the Spirit provides to us. The first thing that jumps out is Jesus says, I will send to you another helper. The same kind, but different. Jesus is referring, of course, to himself and all that he has been for those disciples during those 3 years that they walked with him on earth. And Jesus says, as I have been your help, I am sending to you another helper, the Holy Spirit, and he is going to be with you forever, and he is going to be in you. He will be your all-sufficient supply. Jesus is communicating to his disciples and communicating to us. We have help. It is always available. It is perfect and plenteous. Avail yourself of it. Now, how does the Spirit help us? We're going to look at some things that Jesus talks about, go into other scriptures that fill that in even more as we see how precious on a daily basis in our step through our life, how the Holy Spirit helps us. And the first one that Jesus is emphasizing to his disciples is that the Holy Spirit is comfort in time of need. Remember, we talked about this last week. The disciples were distressed. They were dismayed. They were shocked. They were sad and confused. Jesus, who had been with them and who had guided them and counseled them and explained things to them and provided for them, Jesus has just said, I am going away and you can't follow me right now. And they're thinking, what are we going to do? Who is going to be our leader? And Jesus starts out this upper room discourse by saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Trust me. And then here he says, I am sending to you another comforter. I will not leave you as orphans. And so the Holy Spirit, from the very beginning, Jesus wants to emphasize, is the constant presence of Jesus with us and in us. He is telling his disciples, there is never a moment when you are going to be alone. Among his last words to the disciples will be, behold, I am with you always. How is that? That God the Helper is with us always? It is because the Holy Spirit is the constant presence of God with us. We are not alone. We are not alone in our challenging endeavors, and we are not alone in whatever prison we might find ourselves. That can be a literal prison. And people around the world in solitary confinement for their faith, day after day and night after night, are not alone because the Holy Spirit is with them. And if your prison is fear or doubt or depression or sickness or grief, you're not alone. Jesus sent his Spirit as our comforter, a constant presence with us. And the Spirit brings us peace. Later on, as Jesus is speaking with the disciples about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he then says to them, peace I give you, my peace I am leaving with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Jesus speaks of peace as if it is a concrete thing, a real gift that he can give. And he doesn't give like the world gives and takes it away later on. He gives as a permanent gift. We know from Paul's writings, Philippians chapter 4, he says to us that whatever our need is, we do not need to be anxious about it. We bring it to God, we pray about it, and what does he give us? He gives us peace to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And as you read a little bit further, we learn that that peace is God, the God of peace, who is with us always. The Holy Spirit is our peace. The Spirit comforts us not only with his presence and with the peace he gives us, but with courage. Jesus starts out the upper room discourse saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. He ends the upper room discourse saying, take courage. Take heart. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And I believe that the Apostle John, recalling these words in his gospel towards the end of his life, writing to the churches in 1 John, says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The same truth, the Holy Spirit who is in you, is greater than any challenge, sufficient for every need. Therefore, Jesus says, take courage. Do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit comforts us by giving us confidence. Confidence that God hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't abandoned us. He still is at work. He still is accomplishing his purposes. And even in those moments when we might feel alone or are afraid, he counsels us with the comforting words of assurance that we belong to God. Listen to Romans chapter 8. Please read with me. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. In that moment of need, in that moment of suffering, in that moment when fear may seek to grip us, the Holy Spirit within, the constant presence of the Comforter, assures us, testifies to us, tells us, you are God's child. You have not been forgotten. And the suffering that you are going through is preparing you for glory. How is the Spirit a help? He's an ever-present comfort in our time of need. Jesus also tells us that the Holy Spirit is a helper because he helps us understand and live the truth. We need truth. It's so hard in our world these days to trust anyone. We don't know who to believe. It's one of the reasons that I've almost given up on the news. Because you read one thing and you read another and have no idea who might actually be telling the truth. There are all kinds of messages that we are bombarded with. Who do you trust? Who do you trust at school to tell you about your basic identity? Who do you trust to tell you about what is right and what is wrong? What is good and what is evil? Where do you find truth in this world? Jesus said right here, he is sending the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, first of all, because he points us to Jesus. The Lord Jesus emphasizes at several points through this upper room discourse that the Holy Spirit is not about bringing attention to himself. The Holy Spirit constantly points us to Jesus. And who is Jesus? He is God in flesh. Jesus is the actual embodiment of all that God is and all that God loves and all that God wants us to know. And then Jesus spoke words from the Father so that we could know truth. And the Holy Spirit constantly points us to Jesus, who is the way and is the truth and is life. This is how Jesus put it later on, John chapter 16, still there with his disciples, still what we call the upper room discourse, John 16, 12 through 15. I have much more to say to you. Jesus wants to tell his disciples so much more. But first of all, there's no time. Second, they can't bear it at that point. They're already drinking from the fire, what do we call it? Fire hose, thank you. They're already drinking from the fire hose. They can't take any more. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. The Holy Spirit then further reveals Jesus' truth to his disciples. Jesus also promises that the Holy Spirit will remind the disciples. You know, the whole point of drinking, of the expression drinking from a fire hose, is that there's no way that you can absorb all of that information. And yet, we have the disciples who wrote the words of Scripture, the very words of God for us. How? Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the disciples, John 14, 26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. And so John, when he sits down to write his gospel, thinking back on that upper room discourse, writing down the words of Jesus, has the help of the Holy Spirit, helping him to understand the things that he didn't understand at that time, helping him to remember the things that Jesus said, helping him to write down the words that we need. One of the things we talked about a couple weeks ago is the interaction between the value of the Word of God and the value of the Holy Spirit. I think we can see some of that interaction going on here. We can trust the Word of God because Jesus said the Holy Spirit would enable the disciples to write the Word of God for us. And then the Holy Spirit helps us understand. In a world where we need truth, we are told that we have truth in God's word, but we still need help understanding it. The mind apart from Christ has been darkened. Eyes have been closed. An inability to understand God's truth and to accept God's truth has closed us off from him. On top of that, the deceiver runs rampant in today's world, seeking to lead us astray and constantly leading people astray. What help is there for us to understand these words in all of their depth and all of their beauty? The Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit who was given to the disciples to help them understand the things that they didn't understand at that moment is the same Holy Spirit given to us to open our eyes, to open our minds, so that we're not simply looking at words in black on a white sheet of paper, but so that we understand the Word of God. This is called illumination. We had been walking in darkness, and the Holy Spirit enlightens, opens our minds, opens our eyes to understand the Word of God, to remind us of God's truth in the needed moment, to bring God's truth to our lips in a moment when someone else needs comfort. The Holy Spirit in us opens up God's Word to us so that we can understand it and so that we can live it out. Here's the third way that the Holy Spirit is a helper. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. How often have we said, "Oh, I wish I knew what to do"? We can trust God's Word. It's another thing, then, to walk in accordance with God's Word, right? We talk all the time about the distance between the head and the heart, or the distance between the head and the hands. The Spirit not only gives us truth and helps us to understand the truth, but then gives us the wisdom in order to live out God's truth. That is the biblical definition of wisdom. Wisdom is God's truth in action, putting God's Word into practice. We want to do this, and the Holy Spirit is given to us to enable us to do this. He is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. He is the Spirit who gives wisdom and understanding. Look with me at Colossians 1, 9 through 10, where the apostle says, "For this reason, since the day he heard about the believers in Colossae, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will." You ever wanted that? "We pray that you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." There's where the help is leading. Giving us truth, helping us to understand truth, and then the wisdom to live out that truth in how we walk, in how we conduct ourselves through life. "Lord, I need your wisdom about this decision." The Holy Spirit gives that wisdom through the Word of God, so that in the end, we can live a life that is worthy of the Lord. We bear the name of Jesus. The life that we lead should have equal weight, equal power, and impact. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, we'll talk about this more later, "You will do even greater things than I did." Living a life worthy of the Lord requires spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding that come only from the Spirit. That is why he is given to us as our helper, to hear God's truth, to understand God's truth, and to live out God's truth in a way that brings him glory. And then, oh, so very precious to me and to us, the Spirit helps us to pray. Throughout this upper room discourse, Jesus keeps telling his disciples, "Ask. Ask, and you will receive. Until now, you've not asked anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." And when we talk about those promises, one of the things we emphasize is that that asking aligns with the character and will of God. Well, how do we know what aligns with the character and will of God? The Holy Spirit helps us to understand The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. I had a dear friend who at the beginning of prayer time would ask, Holy Spirit, help us to pray according to the will of God in this moment. And then sometimes we don't even know what to pray. You know what? It's okay just to sit there and be quiet. Romans 8, 26 through 27, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The Spirit helps us to pray, and when the grief is so deep, where the confusion has taken hold, it's really okay just to weep, to be silent, to groan, just to say, Lord, have mercy, because the Spirit is given as our helper to comfort us in the moment of need, to give us God's truth, to help us live out God's truth, and to pray in accordance with the will of God. So then what does it mean to live with the Holy Spirit as our helper? Let's go back to that big box home improvement store and walk in and barge right past. I don't have time to talk to you. You don't know what you're doing anyway. Right? And to go to that aisle and to search through all of those bins and find the piece that we think we need. It's already taken an hour. We're already frustrated because it was so hard to find. Of course, we get back home and realize it was the wrong part, or we didn't get the accessory that we needed. I mean, how many home improvement projects involve going back and forth four or five times? Because you keep needing to replace a part or get something else or whatever. Stop trying to muddle through on your own. We don't have to. God doesn't want us to. Jesus didn't abandon us to figure it out. The Holy Spirit is given to be that helper who walks us through, showing us what we need, counseling us in how to live, helping us in our weakness. And so the first thing is to ask for the Spirit's help. Sometimes we just need to ask. I don't know about you, but my first reaction so many times is to figure it out or just do something. And we forget to ask. Ask and you will receive. Ask for the Spirit's help. We already talked about Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Holy Spirit, help me to make this decision about my education, about my college, about my job, about this difficult family situation that I'm going through, about a spouse, about how to walk with my friend through this trial that they have. Holy Spirit, help. Those whispered prayers. When somebody asks a question, I have no idea. Holy Spirit, help. May these please be your words and your guidance. Ask the Spirit to help us understand and apply God's word. Can I encourage you to memorize Psalm 119, verse 18? Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. That is often and should always be my prayer daily as I go into the Word of God. It is certainly my prayer as I prepare to speak about the Word of God. Open my eyes. I am not able to understand. I am not able to apply it in the ways that you would have me apply it. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law, and that book will be enlightened. That mind will be enlightened. Ask for the Spirit's help. It seems simple, but it's fundamental. Let it be a practice in our daily life. Trust, then. Trust the Spirit of truth. There is all kinds of advice out there. Kids, you're going to be told, follow your heart. Find out your truth. Well, guess what? If we look deep enough, we understand the heart is deceitful above all things and desperate in his wickedness. We can't trust our hearts because they will lead us astray, because they are based on our emotions and our desires and our inclinations, which apart from Christ are absolutely against what he desires for us. We can't trust our heart. We can trust the Spirit of truth. Or you might hear, follow your nose. One of my favorite singers talked about that one. Problem is, there's all kinds of things that grab my attention, and every time I turn my head to look at something, my nose is pointed in a different direction. If we want truth that is unchanging, consistent, reliable, and trustworthy, it is in the Word of God, and we ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to understand God's truth and then commit ourselves to follow it. The guidance that we long for is available to us in the Spirit-inspired pages of Scripture, which then the Holy Spirit himself helps us to understand and to apply. The point being, if we're going to say, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law, then we must follow the example of the psalmist in delighting in the Word of God, in daily going to the Word of God, in memorizing the Word of God, in committing ourselves to live out God's truth according to his Word. And then, life in the Spirit means walking with the Spirit, hearing the truth, understanding the truth, but committed to follow through on it. First thing in the morning, last thing in the evening, going to God's Word, praying, asking the Holy Spirit for his guidance, falling on him for the help that we need, and doing that through the day. The running conversation. I think sometimes that prayer is overwhelming to us because we think it has to be this big event all the time instead of saying, Lord Jesus, help me in this moment. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom right now. A running conversation through the day as we are lashed to our helper who walks with us through life, providing, guiding, empowering. We're going to talk more about walking in the Spirit's power. The next sermon on the Holy Spirit will be the power of the Holy Spirit for life and for service. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you did not leave us on our own to figure things out and to muddle our way through. Thank you that you have given your Spirit. What a precious gift. Thank you for comfort. Thank you for peace. Thank you for courage. Thank you for the witness, the testimony to our own hearts that we are yours. Thank you for truth that we can rely on. Thank you for understanding that you bring to our hearts and minds. Thank you for guidance all through our lives, in every stage, in every decision, the counsel of your Spirit, applying your precious word to our lives. Thank you for help when we pray. Lord, I pray that even now, that you would guide in our praying. That you, Spirit, would work in the heart of each one who is here. open our hearts to your word and to your work. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.